Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeba doo! And we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back in 2024 style, yo.
Oh, let's go. 2024 style.
2024 yes. In the year of our Lord.
I've heard that the 2024 style is going to be the best style of all time.
It will be until 2025 style. You can hold me to it.
Until 20. Okay.
don't hold me amazing. To it, actually.
But we're
maybe
doing
2025 will be an awful year. I don't know.
Nah, every year is going to be what it is.
It is.
Which is great.
Every year holds new opportunities, new mysteries,
new challenges.
New everything.
New puzzles.
Yes.
And new music.
And definitely.
And new beverages.
Yes, all the above. And we're super excited about the new music and new beverages because this is American Brews and Tunes.
Nice. That was like the perfect segue.
Yeah, you set it up.
Really well done.
You set it up. I just went with it.
Perfect.
Anyways, dear listener, this is episode 148. My name is Stephen Johnston.
148. My name is Jesse Titus.
Yes, 148.
Dang, 148.
I feel
148.
Like
148. Very nice.
I feel like that's a nice mathematical number.
You think so?
I
think, you mean it's divisible by 2, which is kind of nice.
I don't know. Is it divisible by 3? You know how 3 is a magic number?
It might be.
But either way.
3 is a magic number. So is 6 and so is 9, right? According to Nikola Tesla.
Yes, well, 6 and 9 are also divisibles. Like, they're 3 is the base, so.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not going to pretend to understand what he meant by that, but.
He was a genius.
He said it.
He
said it, right?
He really did, so we'll just go with that, I guess.
If you take nothing else from this this episode, listener, 3, 6, and 9. It's great.
Yes, it is.
Anyway. We can move on.
Dear listener, we are actually going to talk about a few little songs on this episode.
Yes.
A few little songs coming off of a really big album.
Yes.
And that album, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is by Vampire Weekend.
Yes!
It's been... I know we've talked about Vampire Weekend because Jesse has recommended that I listen to their albums several times.
For a long time.
Yeah. And actually, I think... The very first episode that we did record, I had reviewed their debut album.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it definitely got deleted before we released it.
Yeah, accidentally deleted, right? Did you you save something over it? Or
yep, that was all me.
Yeah.
Whoops.
That was funny.
And then
I forgot about that.
I definitely, we reviewed Contra for the podcast.
Yep.
I know we talked about... Father of the Bride.
Yeah, I feel like we have talked about most of them, except maybe the one that I can't remember the name of it right now.
Modern Cities of the Vampire, whatever that's called. Yep. Modern vampires living in the city.
Modern Vampires of the Modern City being modern and being vampires.
Which is kind of like what we do in the shadows.
Modern Vampires of the City, yeah, that's what it's called, yep.
Yeah. A.K.A. what we do in the shadows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like what we do in the shadows.
Yes.
Fantastic TV show, fantastic movie. Very goofy.
Yeah. But Vampire Weekend has a new album coming out.
Back to the band.
Right? They've released 2 singles, which we are going to touch upon on this here episode, dear listener. But before we get to those, before we get to those tunes.
Yes, what else could we be talking about besides tunes today?
Brews, a.k.a.
Oh, brews.
Bevies.
Yes!
And to my understanding, Jesse, do you have a tea ready?
I do, yeah. I do have a tea. And So for those who don't know, I've been going to school and working full time. So that's why we haven't gotten a lot of episodes out recently. So I'm fairly certain I haven't had this tea on the podcast. If I did, I guess I'm reviewing it twice.
We'll see.
But it's from my brother-in-law and my sister went to Banff recently in Canada.
What is that?
And there was a Banff.
What is that?
Banff. B-A-N-F-F. It's a city in Canada.
Oh, I've never
heard of that. It's like a ski lodge, like skiing destination, I think.
I thought you said Banff, like B-A-M-F.
Oh, close. B-A-N-F-F.
Well, you know what B-A-M-F is, right?
Yeah.
But that's completely not here nor there.
Yeah, but anyway, so apparently there's a tea company, so it's Banff Tea Company, and the flavor is Bingo Blueberry.
Oh.
And so I'm really looking forward to it. It's a completely loose leaf tea, and I have this cup that has like a filter that goes inside of the cup,
uh-huh.
And you can cover it, so you can like let that steep, and then just pull the filter out.
Is it like
is a nice warm cup of tea?
Is it a metal, like a metal filter?
So the whole cup is, I think, porcelain, or it's some sort of clay.
Uh-huh.
And then the filter, the base of it is metal, but then the rest of it is that same porcelain material as the cup. It's a really nice cup.
Send me a picture of that later. I'm kind of curious to see what it looks like, because I've got a couple cup tea brewing things, and I just want to see if it's anything like those.
Okay, will do.
Yeah.
So I've had this tea before, I'll be honest, but this is the first time I'm having it on the podcast.
Full transparency.
Yeah, that's how we are here on American Brews and Tunes. We never lie.
So it's blueberry. What's the actual type? Yes. I'm assuming it's not black tea, no caffeine or anything?
Nope, it's an herbal tea. Yep, it is an herbal tea. So I guess I'm not really sure what else is in there. I guess I could go grab the bag real quick. To see what's in there.
You're fine.
It's a tea, and it's delicious. Well, I'm thinking it's going to be delicious. Who knows?
And also,
we'll find out.
Just as you were having tea, Jesse, I'm having iced tea.
Really?
Okay. Yes. On this episode, I'm going non-alcoholic as well. I'm going to be having a liquid death.
Oh.
Have you heard of them?
A sparkling water?
So, water? No, not this one in particular. For the listener who may not be familiar with Liquid Death, they're a company that specializes in still water and sparkling water, but they can the water. And their whole thing is to reduce plastic waste because aluminum is easily recyclable. They do have a couple flavors.
Yeah, plastic is a bit more difficult.
Yes, it is. Aluminum's easy, but they do have a few flavors that they add agave to, just a light sweetness. Ooh,
just like sweeten it a little bit. That sounds good.
But this version that I'm having is called Rest in Peach, and it's iced tea, agave, and vitamins, and it is... I'm not sure if it's... sparkling or if it's still, but they definitely have black tea, peach flavors, and added vitamins, so it should be good. I've had some of their other flavored sparkling waters, and I like them.
That actually does sound pretty good.
Have you had...
I always see Liquid Death on the shelves. I feel like maybe I tried it once. I know that Sam Page was very much into Liquid Death whenever
he
all still lived in Nashville.
Yeah, he had its Liquid Death maybe, basketball shorts. I don't know if you remember that.
Yep, I do. So maybe I tried one when we were at Sam's one time, but I don't know if I have had any. Because they're always like $3 for a can, so I'm like, I don't really want to buy that.
Yeah, I only get them for special occasions. I don't buy like cases of them because it really is pricey. But... next time you're in a store, if you see like a flavored one, go for it.
Okay.
I definitely think it's worth it.
I will.
So I'm going to crack my can.
And I'm going to hold my glass.
Because your glass has been steeping.
It's been steeping. It is already steeped and it's ready to go.
Oh man, I can smell I can smell the peach coming out of mine already since I opened it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice.
It smells nice.
I can smell the blueberry.
Ooh.
It smells delicious.
It smells like antioxidants.
Mmm. Right. Yum. Love that antioxidant smell in the morning.
I love the smell of antioxidants in the morning.
Whenever I crack open my liquid death peach vitamin tea water in the morning. Oof,
tea water.
It really gets me going.
Just a side note. When I used to listen to that Blink 182 podcast called Blink 155.
When you used to? Do you not still listen
to
that?
Well, they've ended the podcast. So it's...
Oh, they've ended it. Oh, bummer.
I mean, they talked about all the songs, so they had to stop.
Oh, fair enough.
It came to a natural conclusion. But when one of the hosts would have coffee, he called it bean tea.
Bean tea. Okay, like, yeah.
Tea, I mean, tea made with coffee beans. So, yeah, it's technically right. All right. So
technically he's right, but there's another name for bean tea, and it's coffee.
Delicious is what I call it. Shall we go ahead and cheers this bevy, though?
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Let's cheers and try.
As we always say on American Brews and Tunes,
that's what we always say.
For that exact length of time.
Cheers.
Anyways, down the tea hatch. All right. My first note is that it is not sparkling at all.
Okay. It's still.
But it's delicious.
Nice.
The peach flavor's there. There is a sweetness, which I was about to say I assume comes from the agave, but I'm not assuming. I know it comes from the agave. It's nice. I actually really like this.
Is it pretty refreshing?
Very refreshing. It's just nice. The right amount of sweetness. I've got this. Let me look. It's a 19.2 fluid ounce can. And it clocks.
Oh, dang, it's a big boy.
It's a big boy. It clocks in at 30 calories. So it's.
Ooh, dang. 30 cals?
Ever so lightly sweetened. There's not much agave in it.
Okay.
So
that's not bad at all.
This is a guilt-free bevy.
Guilt-free bevy.
Other than the caffeine, I guess.
Caffeine's not the worst thing.
Yeah. But it's I really like it. The peach flavor's there. It's not overpowering. I can tell that it's tea.
Nice.
Okay. It would be nice if it was sparkling, but it's not required. I'd like it either way. Would I get this again? Yes, but on rare occasions because it is pricey.
Okay, fair enough. It's got to be on. Mm. It's got to be like that one moment that you're like, you know what? I think I will splurge a little bit.
Yeah.
And instead of spending $150, I'm going to spend $3.
Yeah. And I think
I know exactly what you mean.
I think I got this at Target for like $2.50, so 50 cents off of what Jesse.
Already less than $3.
Maybe Nashville is 50 cents cheaper, I guess, than Minnesota.
Maybe.
Maybe it was on sale the day I bought it.
I have no idea. That could be. Yeah.
How's the blueberry tea, though, from Banff?
My tea is pretty good. Sorry, I just had to go in for another sip there. It's the blueberry is very present, which is not that surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe I have the ratio off or I maybe let it steep too long because it is pretty like, I don't know what the word is for tea, but it feels like it's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like the flavor is really dense or like the flavor is kind of heavy. Like I feel like it could be lighter.
Okay.
Like maybe bitter or tart maybe is the word for it.
Too tart?
Yeah, maybe a little bit too tart. So I think maybe I steeped it for too long or I put too much tea in there.
And now, Jesse, I'm going to say this as an ignorant tea drinker, all right?
Okay.
I don't think that you can oversteep herbal teas.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like I said, ignorant tea drinker, so I could be very wrong.
I mean, I'm pretty much an ignorant tea drinker as well, so I'm also just guessing. It tastes like maybe it's a little bit too tart, or maybe that's just what this tea tastes like. It is kind of tart because of the blueberry.
It tastes good.
Now, but maybe if I put a little bit of like honey in it or something, it would taste better.
Could be. Very well could be. I think honey might balance that out. Do you remember I was telling you about the type of tea that we order? It's called True Honey.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They have a blueberry rooibos herbal tea.
Ooh.
And it's good, but it's like almost a 180 of the tea you're having. It's not too tart. It's a little too sweet. And so if I ever have that one, I'll actually add a little lemon juice to it to balance it out.
Oh, okay. To make it a little bit more tart.
Yeah. So if you have the 180, I think honey might actually balance yours out to balance the tart with the sweet.
Whenever I have it next, I'll have to give it a shot with a little bit of honey in it.
Next time, of course.
For sure.
All right.
Tasty, though.
Same here.
Let's, now that we got the bevies out of the way, let's touch on these two new tracks. From Vampire Weekend.
Jesse, would you like me to give you an overview of the where we're at in the Vampire Weekend?
Yeah, in the Vampire Weekend canon, in the Vampire Weekend lore, the story, whatever word you want to use for it, let's see where we're at in that.
All right. So as all of us are acutely aware of, the band's last album was Father the Bride, which came out in 2019. Pre-pandemic.
Oh, that long ago?
Yes.
I thought it was pre-pandemic. 2020 when it came out. Okay, 2019. Wow, okay.
2019. So it's been 5 years, but it really doesn't feel that long. Like it seems like it's been like 2 years, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the pandemic definitely took a few years away from a lot of people.
Yeah, unfortunately, but it is what it is. That's time. That's history. What can you do?
Yep. But yep, nothing. Can't do anything about it.
Very recently, the band announced that they are coming out with a new album, which will be their fifth album, and it's called Only God Was Above Us. So that's the new album. It's coming out April 5th, 2024.
April 5th. Oh, wow. Not that far away.
No, not that far away at all.
Just about a month away.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I think it's interesting that the album will only be 10 songs...
As opposed to their last album?
Yep. Father the Bride was...
It was like 20 songs?
18 songs.
Yeah, 18 songs. Wow.
But here's an even more interesting piece of information. So the new album, 10 songs, will clock in at 47 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Father the Bride, 57 minutes.
Whoa.
So it's only a 10-minute difference for 8 songs.
Yeah. So I like that. They're being a little bit more deliberate. They're making these songs. They're fleshing these songs out, fleshing the ideas out.
I really liked...
That's good.
I really liked Father of the Bride, but I think they could have trimmed it down from 18 to maybe like 13. 14. Maybe 12 or 13.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
In terms of like where I place that album in my tier list of Vampire Weekend... It's definitely near the bottom. I think it's actually at the bottom for me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Not me.
It is a good album.
Aside from
there are moments.
Yeah, aside from the trimming factor of it being too long. You know what? Now I'm thinking of their back catalog, so I don't know. Maybe it is on the bottom actually.
It's tough.
It is.
And like saying that it's on the bottom doesn't mean that it's a bad album either.
No.
It doesn't mean I don't like it.
It depends on my mood also, I think.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just in the mood to listen to it because the sound is vastly different too. Which the sound on these two new songs, the sound, I feel like kind of mixes the old style of Vampire Weekend in like the Contra or their self-titled album. But mixes that with kind of what they've done in the mid to later part of their discography as well. It's kind of like a nice mixture between everything.
I could see that for sure. A nice little piece of trivia before we get into the actual songs.
Yeah.
Is the album is called Only God Was Above Us. And that is a quote that is taken directly from a passenger who was on the Aloha Airlines flight 243. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh,
So it was a flight that I guess was, I think it was departing Hawaii, or either arriving in Hawaii. I'm not entirely sure, but the roof was ripped off of the plane mid-flight.
Whoa.
Yes.
Dang.
And so they had to like turn around and come back to the islands, and they landed. And I think there was only one fatality. I think it was a flight attendant who like was thrown from the plane. Everyone else had their seatbelts on. But they were interviewing a passenger to like ask like what it was like, and he said only God was above us. So it's pretty heavy.
Interesting, yeah.
And if you look at the album cover of the Vampire Weekend album coming out, it's like a subway setting, and one guy's reading outside a newspaper, and it has that quote on it from the flight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so very interesting. And lastly, again, one more thing before we get into the tracks. I read this online that apparently there's heavy influence of raga, which is Indian...
Reggae.
No, not reggae.
Oh, raga.
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 Yeah, Indian Indian classical music.
Okay.
That's awesome. Apparently Ezra had like studied new vocal coaches or like influence, and so that translates to this, I guess?
Okay. That's amazing. I mean...
I'm not sure that I quite hear it, but that's what they say. I
wonder if they're gonna, like, work in... Yeah, there must be other songs, because, like, if it's... You said Indian, right?
Yes.
So, like, India, right?
Yes.
It's like, there, the scale, like, musical scale that they use there is much different than the typical tonal scale that most...
Yeah, where we have seven notes...
are used to listening to.
Where Western has seven notes in between octaves, they have vastly more.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds much different. It kind of has the same general feel of like a harmonic minor scale, but not exactly the same though.
A little different.
So anyway, that's really interesting to hear. I don't really think I hear it on these first two tracks, so it must be elsewhere on the album.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't either, so I'm kind of curious to hear where the other tracks come into. But shall we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, two tracks. The first being Capricorn.
Capricorn.
And Capricorn. That is not a reference to a blend of corn.
Okay. Is it a reference to the astrological symbol, Capricorn?
I would say so.
I would guess so, yeah.
It's a mid to slower tempo song.
And definitely mid to slower tempo.
I know that you had said that, like, these two songs reminded you of their first two albums, but I think it's more along the lines, sonically, of Modern Vampires and the Vampire City.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I think the reason that I think it sounds more like... what am I trying to say here? Like the piano part that they use is like classic Vampire Weekend, where it's like arpeggios. Like that's what I mean. Like that reminds me of that. But then they blend in. They're pretty much like all their other catalog, pretty well.
Yeah. All right. I could see that. But I mean, like there was a lot of those like classical elements in the Modern Vampires and the Vampire City album as well.
Okay.
But there's like in this song, there's like the staccato strings that appear throughout most of the song. They've got like those ethereal and almost like industrial sounding sound effects. I'm assuming comes from like a synthesizer. But it's just actually, is ethereal and industrial an oxymoron?
Ethereal, industrial.
Think about that. Now that I say it out loud.
But I think I feel like it. I feel like it kind of works, though.
Yeah, but if you can kind of get what I'm saying by those two things together, that's what I get from this.
I understand what you're saying,
and
I definitely get that. Like, you can definitely I think that's a fairly decent way to describe it, because like even the next track too, which we'll talk about in a little bit, has like that feel,
yeah,
as well with some of the like sonically some of the sounds they've chosen.
And can I give you one more reason why I think this would fit in with Modern Vampires of the Vampire City?
Sure.
Right. In the chorus, he says, "Too old for dying young."
Yeah, okay.
Is that a reference to Diane Young?
He does talk about Diane Young. Okay, yeah. Yeah,
bam.
I feel like that track was literally supposed to be Diane Young, right?
Oh, yeah.
Diane Young, yeah.
He wasn't talking about a person named Diane Young. I mean, technically, yes, but it's about dying young. And I think I don't know if this is specifically a callback to that, but that's what I got.
It like, because I remember them making callbacks to their earlier albums in that album as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I think they definitely do that.
They like to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This song's super catchy though. I really was.
It is.
Like, it's not like the fast song that I typically am drawn into, being a punk rock fan.
Uh-huh.
But after one listen where I like actively listened to it, I was drawn in. I liked it a lot. It was really catchy. Good song.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic song. Mm-hmm. Based on the way this track sounds, like, I feel like I'm pretty excited about the album.
Samesies. What about the next song that they released?
I feel like this next track, which is called Gen X Corpse or Cops, Gen X Cops. is a slight departure, like, sonically from their normal sound.
Yes.
And it feels like where normally they use like a piano to kind of drive a melodic sound or like line.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the hook. In this, they're using, I think, a guitar that sounds, what did you call it?
Ethereal and industrial. Yes.
Yeah, the guitar kind of sounds ethereal and industrial at the
and
same time.
I know that exact opinion, guitar part that you're talking about, it comes in very rapidly, like near the intro of the song, right?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
It's almost piercing.
Uh-huh.
But appropriate.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't sound out of place at all.
And the melody is, like, the melody that guitar takes is kind of odd, so I wonder if maybe that could be a little bit like the raga Indian classical influence. Maybe
I
don't know for sure, but I'm searching for it at this point, so maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
I like this song. It's a little bit faster in the drum beat.
It kind of rips.
Yeah, it does kind of rip. It almost seems like a jazzy drum
for Vampire,
kit
for Vampire Weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
because they don't rip all the time.
They don't. Yeah, they don't rip too often. So,
but what they do,
this song definitely is ripping for them.
Yes, it is
for sure.
But one of the non-ripping things about the song that I love is there's a descending harp that comes in during like a couple parts in the chorus.
Yeah,
And it's just like, I don't want to say unexpected, but I didn't, like, personally, I didn't expect it in coming out of the song. But it's this, like, super nice descending harp line that comes out and, like, repeats a couple different times throughout the chorus, and I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, super catchy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they always do a really good job of using, like, unique instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
And layering to, like, really fill out the whole sound of a song. Or the whole body of a song, I guess.
Yeah, they don't pump out songs easily. They
take their time.
They labor over their songs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Lyrically, I think there's like a, it's kind of on the nose about like generational divide, maybe strife that pops up from time to time. But like,
yeah, absolutely,
it's called it Gen X Cop, so. Not that hard to figure it out, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kind of like the main line is each generation makes its own apology.
Yep.
Is what it is, true. Is what they say.
It's true.
Like most generations tend to think more about themselves as opposed to thinking about other generations.
Yes.
Or at least that's how it feels whenever you're looking at the generation above you, or the generation, and maybe the generation below you feels the same way about you.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a cycle.
Yeah, unfortunately. It'd be nice if we could break that cycle.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but I think that's kind of the cycle that goes every generation. As one generation grows older, the next generation fills their spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of natural, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But either way, I really like both songs.
Me too.
And kind of like we said, I'm not really sensing too terribly much of the raga influence.
Me neither, but I'm going to have to go back and like and kind of look up that style of music and maybe give it a listen.
Yeah. Do it for sure
before the album comes out,
and I'm sure that it's going to pop up at some point on the rest of the album. Super excited for the album and the tour that they're doing to support the album, because they do not tour too terribly often.
That's true. They don't.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it too.
Samesies.
That's all I got to say.
Samesies.
That's all I got to say about the album. This tea was also very good.
Same here.
Still is pretty good.
Same here. I would, like I said before, I would go ahead and get another Liquid Death Rest in Peach iced tea if the time calls for it, because it's $2.50 for a can, which is kind of pricey.
Yeah.
But delicious nonetheless.
You can't just go spending $2.50 anywhere.
Well, you could, but it's got to be for a reason, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways,
shall we go ahead and sign off with our one last cheer, as we do on American Brews and Tunes?
Yes.
As we always say, down the tea hatch.
Yes.
Yeah. Once again, my name is Stephen Johnston.
And my name is Jesse Titus.
And this is American Brews and Tunes.
Tunes. Very nice.
Here's a theme song. You know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeby dad.